This is episode 49 of Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And I'm so freaking happy that I feel this good about Outlander right now.
Me too. And you know what? We are not alone.
No, we're not. Thank God.
The
Thank
Outlander God. Train is rolling, my friend.
Started off a little rough.
Well, in some people's opinions, because I've just been loving it from the start.
Sure. I mean, the premiere was fantastic. Loved the premiere. And not just because it was Frank, but because... There was good attention to detail. There were good character motivations. It started off with a little bit of a mystery. It started a whole arc that will propel itself for the whole season. Loved it. And then we had Not in Scotland Anymore, which is a little bit of a step back. But this episode has, like I said in our last podcast episode, has righted all of the wrongs.
Well, in your opinion, but.
Yeah, in my opinion, but I'm saying it's a good thing. Yeah. Like, it's righted all the wrongs, and I'm really happy about
everyone
it.
Everyone seems to be so happy. We're pumped to continue to meet these characters that us book readers have loved. And for just show watchers like yourself, Blake, you're just in heaven, because last episode was fun. It was fun. It was beautiful. You get the plot wheels turning, and it's setting up so much for this season. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are just joining us brand new, I myself, Mary, am a book reader. Blake is not a book reader. He is just a show watcher, which makes it so fun and yet so difficult. And this episode is listener feedback driven. You know, we go from having a podcast where it's just Blake and I, and we recap the episode, to having so much awesome feedback and conversations with you guys. You go from a two-person podcast to, you know, a 20,000-plus person podcast, and it just makes it so much more fun because you catch things that we don't catch. You have different insights, and I adore having these conversations. So let's start chatting with you guys.
Well, let's do it.
All right, we have Mary Anderson on our website, outlandercast.com. She said, I think the heart of everything that is wrong between Jamie and Claire is the fact that they are not connecting in the bedroom. Jamie is refusing to confront his PTSD and busies himself with business and intrigue. Claire feels resentful and disconnected. The result of shoving the issue under the carpet is the resentment and deceptive behavior between them. Claire needs the pillow talk with Jamie to feel a part of what is happening. She instead is left out in the cold. I don't always approve of her choices, and she is being rather bitchy. But her world is falling apart, and she feels powerless to control it, hence her need for a useful occupation. Jamie just stays unnaturally busy in order to keep from facing his dysfunction. For these two, it's all about the bedroom.
Hell yeah.
Well, not right now. You know, it's so tough because, yes, and for especially book readers, we know it's all about the bedroom for them. But especially the way that the show, in my opinion, has handled it, his assault just happened really still recently. And as we've been able to see, each time he's being sexual, he thinks of Black Jack Randall. So, and these are the only times that we've seen. We don't know how often else he's tried, and he just sees BJR. So I feel really bad. I agree. That is where they connect exceptionally well. And think about it. Claire has hormones going on. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm pregnant, I'm not really nice. I'm just not.
I'm going to refrain from saying anything. You know, I'm going to take the fifth.
That's a good idea.
In fear of incriminating myself.
Instead, I'll have Kathy Van Wessips comment. She said, I love this episode. Mother Hildegard Bouton say, Blake.
Bouton.
And Fergus were just as I imagined them from the book. Love that they have developed Murtaugh into a man who not only lives to be of service to Jamie and Claire, but one who has a healthy needs of his own and is enjoying himself with mm-hmm. Suzette. Claire's snappy response was more out of jealousy than about BJR being still alive. She misses the intimacy she and Jamie had, and she feels left out on the sidelines to fend for herself and deal with a pregnancy on her own. What is out of sync for me is this whole timeline and the pregnancy progress. Claire had to have conceived at Lallybroch. All that time searching for Jamie, then the rescue, short convalescence at the Abbey, meeting with Jared 3 weeks after the arrival, then the months that they have should have gone by. Claire should be late in her second trimester, past the morning sickness she had at the Abbey, and the baby should be kicking by now. Mm-hmm. The timeline of this pregnancy is out of phase with the timeline of events. They will likely do some catch up in the next two episodes, but I am having to suspend my disbelief. Kathy, I agree with you. You know, we had this conversation. A couple of viewers have said this, that really the timeline that the show has set up is putting her getting pregnant possibly at Lallybroch. I also heard a great theory that maybe she might have been pregnant,
mm-hmm.
Had what they call more of like a chemical pregnancy, and like it miscarry early. So it's kind of like almost during the period time frame, and then reconceived again. But as we've been able to see, Jamie doesn't really get that physical after his sexual assault. So really they were doing the deed at Lallybroch, which means that Claire should totally be late in her second trimester. We should totally be seeing more than a Chipotle bump. And
people loved that, by the way.
Oh, really?
People freaked out about your Chipotle little baby bump, your burrito bump.
Oh, God, I love burritos so much, so incredibly much. What do we have on Facebook?
Well, actually, I have an email here that I want, a few emails that I wanted to read.
Okay.
It says, Aloha, Mary and Blake. I am one of what I hope are many devoted Outlander fans and Outlander cast fans in Hawaii.
You have to say Hawaii.
Hawaii.
No, with a V kind of sound.
Hawaii. No, we're not Russian, right? Yeah, do you have to say that?
I think people in Hawaii say it with more like of a V sign. You'll have to let me know, because I know that in, or how do you say the state below Washington State?
Oregon.
You don't say Oregon?
Oh, I just say Oregon. Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
That's what I think of.
So people from that state call it Oregon.
Yes.
Not Oregon, like many of us in the rest of the USA.
Listen, it's Oregon. That's how it is.
Well, if you're from Oregon, you say Oregon, and I feel like some people say Hawaii. I don't know. Someone please let me know. I'm from Rhode Island. I've never been to Hawaii. One day, hopefully, my husband will take me. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Mother's Day is coming up. Fly me there.
Calm down. We can't even go to Connecticut. never mind Hawaii.
Okay.
Hawaii.
What is our friend
from
Hawaii
say? All right, so this is from Anne. She is from Hawaii, or Hawaii. She says, while listening to your podcast of episode 203, Useful Occupations and Deceptions, and Blake's theory about Alex Randall and Blackjack Randall, it occurred to me that I do not recall you're covering one point from episode 202, not in Scotland anymore. So please forgive me if I'm incorrect. But when Claire is introduced to Alex Randall by the Duke of Sandringham, Alex coughs and mentions an ongoing condition. When he says his brother recovered from the injuries in the line of duty, he comments that his brother is in far better health than he, Alex, is.
Hmm.
Is this a reason why Blake thinks something untoward is going to happen to Alex? Mahalo. Anne, I wish I was smart enough and intuitive enough to say yes. like all my outlandish theories, they are all half-baked. And I would say that, no, I did not account for that. But I really do think something bad's going to happen to Alex. And I wish you know what? I'm going to take your idea and your knowledge and your research,
and just apply it.
I'm officially going to commandeer it and say that it is my own, and say yes. Yes.
Sure.
That is that.
Okay.
My love, what do we have on the Facebook?
Well, first and foremost, those of you who haven't yet been to our Facebook page, if you head on over to facebook.com/OutlanderCast, you can always leave us comments there. But we also have a group. It's called the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering Facebook group. So we have some comments from both of those places, but be sure to make sure to find us on Facebook.
And I got to tell you, it rocks. The clan gathering.
The clan gathering is so incredibly fun because you get to really have some pretty in-depth conversations, and it is not spoiler-free because... as long as you put a little disclosure, you can talk. Anyway,
well, that's a good thing. There are spoiler warnings.
Yes.
So if you are like me, if you're one of the uninitiated, you're not of the Church of Diana, then you can go in and feel safe.
Yes, you can.
It's a safe place.
So we've had some great comments, like Bob Loveless. He said, this episode more than made up for the last one. We seem to have got back on track. I have to agree that while I was happy with what happened to Claire, I felt bad for Jamie. If that were me in his situation, I think I would have lost it. I can understand why Claire did not tell Jamie about BJR at that moment of pure joy, of breaking the code. Mm. It would have been so sad to see his moment of happiness crushed. But she must tell him, and soon.
Yeah, I think I would agree. It's probably prudent to not say anything. Mm-hmm. Let that moment be, and then move on. Ellie Moon says, you have beautiful breasts, madame. Madame, vous avez très, très bien baissé.
Wow.
No, I didn't just have a stroke. That was my attempt at French. And that was really bad. Hashtag WeFergus. I adore that child from both the book and now the show. Hashtag perfect casting.
I would agree. Perfect casting. That
kid's 14 years old. Peggy told me that.
Once again, what moisturizer does he use? Because 14. I need to look a lot younger.
He looked like he was 7.
Chris Valley really liked this line from this episode. Master Raymond saying this to Claire. Sometimes mutual interests force us to associate with people we do not like or trust. And Chris said, Kim Brothers Downing gave this episode 4.7 kilts. Thank God for Anne Kenny, she wrote. You can tell she gets Jamie and Claire, and it showed. They are still adrift, unfortunately, but you see a glimmer of hope here and there, and that's they'll find their way back to each other. Not to mention that we finally have a baby bump, and we finally got Jamie, who is smart and wise and not just a lackey following Claire's orders.
Right.
Murtaugh continues to shine, Kim writes. I like how he is there for both Jamie and Claire. Maybe all the time on the search did help Claire Murtaugh bond. After all, she wrote wink emoticon, but that must have just been how it how it copied and pasted. It probably was a little wink, but now it actually has the word. So I almost said wink and I made a fool of myself. Anyway, Kim also said, I liked that Claire confided in Murtaugh about Black Jack Randall. A change from the book, but it worked. Loved We Fergus Bouton. And Mother Hildegard. I can't even think of bad for the GBG. Well, don't you worry, Kim. Don't you worry. I liked all of those goods. Twitter, once again, if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, our handle there is OutlanderCast. Let's keep these conversations going. Sarah Roche wrote, I think Claire made the right call in not telling Jamie about BJR. He deserves that short-lived moment of happiness. Wendy Bevin said, by the way, costume designer, as we all know as Terry Dressbach, says that Kat wore the baby bump under her gowns, but the gowns hide a lot. We've talked about this. Some girls are just blessed where they just, their baby like hides in their hip. I don't know.
Damn them.
Ayanna Smith tweeted, I feel so, I'm so feeling you on Suzette. I would fire her ass. Keep Claire's business to yourself. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Rachel, so RGraph12 tweeted, talk of time travel and changing the past. BJR's death date. Has Claire always gone back? Seriously? This talk makes my head hurt.
That is the unfortunate result of a time travel show. Because everything can be called into question.
Yeah, it's all what if. Yeah.
Right?
Instagram. Oh, God. You know why I love Instagram? I mean, I love Twitter, but Twitter has this 140 count, you know,
it's just not enough.
It's not. So if you're not already following us on Instagram, that is a fun place for conversations because you can just write and love it. So E Boogie Love said, I love how Claire and Jamie are like two detectives trying to decipher the code. This was great. I also love how Murtaugh and Claire's relationship is developing more and more each episode. I always felt like it was Jamie and Murtaugh, and then there was Jamie and Claire, and never a connection between Claire and Murtaugh. These these two being extremely important people in Jamie's life, it's nice to see them connecting. And I loved this comment by E Boogie Love. First off, really cute name. Because for those of you who are in relationships, it is great when you actually like your significant other's best friend.
Right.
It's really awkward when you don't.
Hey, wait. What are you trying to say to me?
I love your best friend. That's okay. What I'm saying. I love your best friend.
Shout out to my best friend, John, in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Love you, brother.
It just makes life a lot easier.
Yes, it does.
And especially for these three, this is kind of like, what was that show? With Susan, oh God, what's the name of the blonde girl? But there were like two girls and a guy living together.
Oh, Suzanne Summers and Three's Company.
Yeah, this is like Three's Company, except, you know, two guys and a girl. I mean, they're all living together.
Wait. That didn't,
What?
Mm-mm.
You don't think it's like that?
No.
They're all like living together, you know, hanging out, joking, dealing with seriously tragic things. I don't know. I didn't really watch the show that much. That was before my time. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Now picture Marta dancing in his kilt. You know what I'm talking about.
Just, I'm going to let this ride a little bit.
Just picture it, guys. Picture Jamie singing this and Claire and Marta doing his little Scottish dance.
From The Search.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh, that's
what
funny.
What does Maybe Kaylee say on Instagram?
Oh, Maybe Kaylee says, Claire and Jamie having disconnect is realistic. Hold on. You know what that is?
It's not me.
Blakeism. That's
there
what that
go.
Is. Do fans want good storytelling or just fan service? No couple is constantly on point. There are ups and downs. And given that the characters have been through since the distance, is understandable. P.S. I enjoyed this episode much better than the second, although the first episode still has my favorite. And maybe, Kaylee, you and I are both on the same page. That premiere was my favorite, but I really did enjoy this latest episode. Chromio24 Good says, yeah, for the baby bump and the acknowledgement of the wee bairn, bad thinking Sandringham will help. What are they thinking? He is
seriously
evil.
He's not your friend. He's not your friend.
No, he's not. He's not a good guy. But Simon Callow is a great actor. I really like him.
Oh my God, he's amazing. And how about The Great?
And The Great is the pain of Claire and Jamie's emotional disconnect and separation. it's just a tornado of badness. They had this one moment of like really happy triumph when they both realized, Sandringham, you know, and I Kendra said this in the last episode, which was in her editor's thought of the week. She said, you know, it could have come off a little trite. It could have come off a little cheesy, and you know, it was a little bit, but I was actually kind of happy with that moment when they both had that aha moment, when they both had that realization that, oh my God, they actually have a good, solid idea, and they know what they're doing. I appreciated that moment pretty well. My love.
It is time. It is time for the tweet of the week.
This week's tweet of the week comes from Erica. Well, at KenjMyMooBru. Wow.
I'm just going to call you Erica. Erica tweeted.
Yeah, Erica, go ahead.
Was so happy when I heard Test Drive from How to Train Your Dragon in your show.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of my faves, and it has bagpipes.
That is right. And for you, Erica, this is for you. That's right. We actually really love this song. And the reason why we put this in there, and yes, it is from How to Train Your Dragon. Our son, Godzilla, he really loves How to Train Your Dragon.
I think both of our kids just like bagpipes because Felicity likes the Outlander soundtrack. And our son, Reese, likes this soundtrack.
Here it is. I'm going to let it ride.
We want to let Erica know and all of the rest of you that the Tweet of the Week winner actually gets a gift card to the Tag You're It Etsy shop.
A $20 gift card.
Yeah, which is awesome. It's one of our favorite Etsy shops. There's Outlander cast special exclusive stuff in that shop, but just some really, really cool things. So always remember to send your tweets of the week. Just make sure that you tweet it at Outlander Cast, and you can maybe win next week.
And Erica, I'm really happy that you noticed that. I'm really happy that you actually know that song, and that is why you got the tweet of the week, as a matter of fact, because you brought the good knowledge, girlfriend. And the fact that you actually knew that track by name is really effing cool. So I was really proud of that. My love, are you ready to get into the voicemails?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, Mary and Blake, this is Bree. I wanted to comment on the scene where the vase breaks because it was actually one of my favorite moments in the episode. As we know, vases are very important to Claire. She longs for one in the very first episode as she looks for it, as she's looking at it in the window. And in many ways, it represents a home to her. And in many ways, it can be argued that it reflects her relationship with Frank and how at that point she doesn't feel that sense of home and belonging with him. And then we see her receive a vase in the Lollybrock episode, and I thought that was beautiful because she had just chosen to stay with Jamie, and we are seeing them at their best as they are both sort of settling into running this home together as Lord and Lady. And the love and the connection between them in that scene is palpable. So for me, the vase breaking in this episode wasn't so much about how did it break and who broke it, although I am curious, but the significance was the fact that it was such a physical representation of where Jamie and Claire are at in their relationship, and I thought it was so powerful. And even after Fergus leaves the room, this scene continues with Jamie and Claire having a conversation where they are in two different rooms and they are physically separated by this wall talking to each other. And you can feel the tension and emotional separation between them. Their relationship is at this point at an all-time low and is fractured and broken, much like the vase that we saw. So I thought it was really beautiful. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that felt that way. But anyways, I just thought that I would share a few of my thoughts on that. So anyways, I'm looking forward to your next podcast. I look forward to it every week. I love hearing your thoughts. So thanks so much. Bye.
Wow. What a fantastic voicemail. You know what? You know what? This is it right here.
Nope, wrong.
This is what I want to do. Bam. That's what I wanted. I can't believe that.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Wow, that was fantastic. Anything on that? Just how amazing?
I'm just amazed and totally right on.
All right, let's do the next one.
Hi, this is Claire McCarthy from Decula, Georgia. A couple comments. My favorite scene in this is one where Jamie and Claire are talking right after Claire met Fergus. He's in a hallway, she's in the room, and they're alternately separated by a wall, and then they pause in doorways as they continue the conversation. That seemed to be a metaphor for their relationship to me. There are walls between them now, but they are coming together, and hopefully that spells good news for their relationship and us viewers in the long run. And then in terms of Claire deceiving Jamie about BJR, for the first time in ages, he was happy. And I totally get why Claire couldn't tell him then. I once had to deliver heartbreaking news to my husband when he had just returned from a long trip. He was so happy and relaxed, eager to see his family again. I put it off as long as I could just to let him have that little bit of happiness for a few more hours, and that's all it really was. It's not an easy thing to do. So I get where she's coming from, but she does totally need to tell him. And then I agree with Blake, something's going to happen with the Compte. I think it's not mere coincidence that he happened to be in the shop, and then Claire goes in and finds poison and has a discussion about poison with Master Raymond. He's up to something, and Claire is probably going to be the one to feel the effects of it. That's just my humble opinion. Thank you.
Vindication, baby. Vindication. At least one person agrees with me. I got to say, that feels good. Someone's got my back.
Hi, guys. My name is Amber. I'm calling from Urbana, Illinois. I just have to say how much I love the show and your show. I love Murtaugh. I just think he's a cutie cute, and he's my favorite. Yes, there's Jamie, but Murtaugh's my favorite. But I just wanted to call in and thank you guys for your show. And Blake, you are not bossy. with your wife. I heard your last podcast. Not at all, but thank you guys so much for what you guys do. Thank you.
Well, you are welcome. And once again, vindication. That makes me feel good about myself. And I don't think I'm bossy. And yes, Murtaugh, love him. His character has become such not only a good character, but an asset to this show. He helps liven the Outlander experience. My love, would you agree with this?
Oh my gosh. He's becoming easily part of my favorite of every single episode.
Totally agree.
Hello, Mary and Blake. This is Chris Valley calling from Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. I just wanted to say that I love Outlander, the book series. I'm up to book 6. I love the TV series. I think it's the best adaptation they possibly could have done in the limited time that they have. I am just hoping that after the second season, they decide that rather than try to take each season book by book, they decide to just tell the story in a more organic way, and that they don't try to do a literal adaptation of each book per season. I think it would work out much better that way for them and the viewers. I love your podcast. Keep it up. I'll be listening. Bye.
That's my girl, Chris. That's a girl from Massachusetts right there.
That's right.
Hey, you know what? Martha's Vineyard, too. So for all you people who don't know what Martha's Vineyard is, it's like where?
It's
like,
beautiful.
It is where all the legitimate people in this world live. And
all of them?
Yeah,
really?
All of them. Every single one.
It's a beautiful island.
Everybody else is illegitimate, but all the legitimate people live in Martha's Vineyard.
Gosh.
And you know the funny thing is?
No.
I've never been there.
Oh, you're right.
Never been there, not once.
Yep.
And the Rhode Island girl sitting across from me has been to Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
But not me. That's actually quite depressing.
It's all right.
Quite depressing.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name is Kathy. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I am a book reader and a show lover of Outlander. I'm listening to your listener feedback for episode 2, and I just wanted to make a comment to Blake. I know that we have a lot of characters that were introduced in this episode, but think of this as a chessboard, and all of these individuals are pieces on that chessboard. Each one will have moves that they make that are unique to them, that are part of the whole dangerous, intricate game that Jamie and Claire are playing with history. So please be patient. It will all become very clear. I think that they did an excellent job of getting all of these characters on the board so quickly. It's a lot to get in with only 13 episodes, and I think they're doing a marvelous job. I have already seen episode 3, but I will not say anything about that until later.
My love, what do you think? Do you think the patience is good here?
I think you need some more patience when it comes to this, but I think as of now, things are really amping up. I agree that the chessboard needs to be set up before it can be played.
Yes. You know what? I've already commented on it. I'm just going to leave it alone. Everybody's heard me rant and rave about this one.
Okay, Mary and Blake, it's Teddy, and I'm actually not driving.
All right.
All right. You guys got to cut Claire some slack. She's in a foul mood. There's no Yankee my wanky going on in her house with her and Jamie. She's pregnant.
All right. Whoa. All right. I'm Teddy.
Lanky my Yankee?
Yankee my wanky.
Oh my God. I never heard that before.
That is amazing. That.
Teddy, that's amazing. That's a nice, fun way to describe.
Oh my God.
Their lack of sex life.
That just. That made my life.
I can use that phrase with my mom when I have to explain something to her later this
listen,
season.
Listen, Ma. Listen. I got a Yankee my wanky over here.
I do not. I do not. Go back to Teddy. Go back to Teddy.
Sorry. Oh, it's just the immature part of me coming out again.
Web of lies that she has to concern herself with. Jamie is a wreck, and she knows it, and that makes her a wreck. And she probably treats her servants nicer than the aristocracy treats their servants.
True.
Hell,
Louise slapped her waxer every time he pulled the strip off.
That's a,
and remember in the first episode when she, or the second, when every move that she made was anticipated by the servants and it irritated her to death? She's irritable. Leave her alone. Bye.
Thanks.
As
for
I said
up.
In this podcast, I was no cupcake when I was pregnant. Okay? You're
she
right.
Ain't no cupcake.
We need to give Claire a little bit of breathing room. She's got a lot of stuff on her plate and she's pregnant.
I still can't get over the Yankee wanky.
Yeah. I just feel bad. She doesn't even say thank you.
Oh, my God. What, she going to say thank you after Yankee My Wanky?
No, thank you to Suzette. To Suzette.
Oh, she did some Yankee My Wanky.
Okay, I'm done with that.
Hi, this is Kathy from Grand Rapids again. And I was the one who made the analogy to the characters being pieces on a chessboard.
Ah, yes.
And the games have begun. Mm-hmm. Jamie played the piece of the Minister of Finance in order to discourage Charles that there would be no money coming from King Louis. And Charles countered with new information that he did have a lot of funding from some British aristocrats and countered with this alliance that would be possible if King Louis committed to him now. So we have a play and counterplay there. So the next move, of course, is what does Jamie do? He now is engaging a couple of pawns. He has Fergus to do the pickpocketing and to increase his intelligence. He has Mother Hildegard to help with the decoding of the message. And he has his team of Murtaugh and Claire to decode that message and finally find out that it is the Duke of Sandringham who is behind the financing from the aristocrats in England.
Mm-hmm.
So the game begins, and the next episode, a lot of players are going to be around that dinner table, and it should be an interesting game of chess.
That reminds me of Sherlock. The game is afoot, Watson. The game is afoot. Love that. And thank you for calling back in and making some more clarification on that.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Betty from Long Island, and I'm calling tonight to clarify something that was mentioned by Mary about the episode Useful Occupations and Deceptions. All right, Mary indicated how she was a little upset with Claire for not acknowledging the servants, not saying thank you or anything. Just a little bit of historical reference, especially when it comes to the aristocracy and servants. It was considered déclassé and very vulgar to acknowledge your servants unless giving them direct orders. You would treat them as if they were furniture, and they did their best to be completely unobtrusive, speaking only when spoken to, and trying to not be seen by the masters and mistresses of the home. That is why it's kind of scandalous that Claire goes to get the contraception for Suzanne. And Mary knows that there was some things mentioned about Claire fraternizing with the servants in the book Dragonfly and Amber. Also, a little side note, I don't know if you're aware of this, Mary, but there's actually an Outlander musical concept album that was put out probably about 10 years ago now. It was available on both Amazon, and you can actually download it off of iTunes. It's pretty interesting. You may enjoy it. So keep up the good work, and I hope to hear from you guys again soon. Bye.
Thank you for calling in, my love. I will give you the floor to retort to what we were just talking, what was just talked about.
What I'd like to hope is that Claire is doing this, just as you said, because it's part of the times and she needs to be doing it. The part that I struggle with is that Claire is from the future.
Right.
And that I just, I feel like Claire was such a wonderfully worldly woman who literally was in the trenches with people from all different types and mm-hmm. walks of life, and came from a time when, you know, women were seen as equals. And I think one thing that I have to remember is how much time has passed since she first arrived in France.
Yeah, but it's not that much time.
But if it is part of the persona that she has to portray, mm-hmm. I mean, they're all acting in Paris, so I can appreciate. I just, what was hard for me was that Jamie was nicer. And so we were able to see Jamie say thank you, and I just wish that Claire did. But yeah, as we talked about earlier, she can be cranky right now, and that's okay. And as for the musical album on Amazon, I'm going to need a link to that, because that sounds amazing.
The one thing I would say about all this is, listen, if this was the Dowager Countess on Downton Abbey, mm-hmm. then I think you got a point. Actually, an extremely valid point, and a historical point that is, to my knowledge, okay, 100% true. I'm willing to go along with that. But Mary has a counterpoint here, which I think is valid. Claire is from the future, and she is not used to the cultural dynamic that I think that exists in France. And since, given her cultural ignorance, let's call it that, I think given her cultural ignorance and discomfort in the time, especially in France, I think it's reasonable for her to acknowledge them a little bit longer, even though she has been in France for, what, 3-4 months-ish?
Ignorance, I feel like, has such a bad connotation.
No, but ignorance, is it's not necessarily, I don't know. You know what? Okay, before I get myself in trouble, we're going to move on to the last voicemail.
Just so you guys know, it is entirely possible to miss an infection like that. Looking at the whole situation, the guy apparently was in some sort of accident. He had broken his leg, around the tibia or below the knee somewhere, and there were some other injuries and wounds observed, but the most major injury was probably that leg, the broken leg. So they were focusing on that, saw a few cuts and bruises and kind of, you know, treated those briefly, but probably focused on that leg. And initially, you know, a little piece of wood or metal, whatever that was, wouldn't have caused such an infection in the beginning. It probably took days to fester and build up that pocket of pus. It is entirely possible to miss that and not get that until a few days later. Medically speaking, like I said, I'm a veterinarian, not a physician, but it's a similar sort of a way that infections and abscesses can present. And I actually really loved that scene. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it was really quite cool. And it was basically ripped straight from the book. That was excellent to see that play out. So I just thought I'd add that for you guys as an FYI. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you very much. I think we must have missed part of the message that the mystery vet has sent to us. I don't know where it went, and I apologize for not having the first message, but it is what it is.
So I had my tibia broken.
Mm-hmm.
And ouch. And I
was that when you got hit by the car?
Yeah.
Okay. Mary was hit by a car when she was a kid.
I was. I looked both ways, but there was a tree in my view. And gosh, that whole scene, maybe I just like blocked it out so much because it scared me and reminded me of when I was a kid. That's really interesting to know that they can miss that. Now I'm freaking out and my phobia of splinters is going to grow even more.
Oh boy.
God. Okay, you need to talk about something else because I want to vomit thinking about that.
See, I hate when you do this to me. You always put me on blast here.
I'm literally covering my mouth because I'm so grossed out thinking about that scene.
I literally don't even know what to say here. Okay, the Red Sox playing the Braves today. How's that sound?
Just say thank you for your insight.
Thank you for your insight, my dear mystery veterinarian, that we didn't have the first part of the message from. And thank you everybody for calling. That was amazing.
Alrighty, you ready to close out the show?
Yes, my love. Let's get it done.
I've had so much fun this week, and I know a lot of the listeners have, and I've been listening to the Goldberg Variations, by the way. I'm such a nerd, and I'm totally okay with it.
You are such a nerd.
We totally should have had that music this episode. Anyway,
a little
Blake,
nerd
what are you
girl.
Looking forward to this Saturday night?
You know, I'm actually looking forward to seeing the relationship between Jamie and Claire develop with Fergus.
Okay.
I feel like this kid is going to be a much larger part of what they do.
Okay.
And based on everybody's reaction to Fergus, apparently this kid's like kind of like a big deal.
He is.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle that. And,
good.
And not just because I think the kid's a pretty good actor, because like I said last episode, I freaking hate kid actors.
Yes.
They all suck, especially like teenagers. Stop. Like, you know, I just can't stand it.
But you're a fan of Fergus.
But I'm a fan of Fergus.
I'm glad to hear it.
The kid's 14. He's using great moisturizer.
Yes.
And I bet you know, he hasn't done one bad thing in his life.
Yep.
And he's a French kid, too, so that don't suck either.
I am so excited about this episode. I just love conflict, and there is going to be a fight.
Is there really?
You saw it in the What's Coming Up Next Time.
No, I didn't watch it.
You didn't?
No, I didn't watch it.
Psh, whatever. It's going to be like the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Flipping tables.
Yeah.
What was her name? Teresa?
Teresa. You prostitution whore.
Anyway. I'm really excited about that. So make sure that you, after you see this episode, you head on over to, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, shoot us an email, head on over to OutlanderCast.com itself. But let us know your kilt rating. Remember, it's 1 out of 5 kilts. Or your GBG. Of course, it's our new segment. The good, bad, great. Because your comments may be read on the next episode of our listener feedback for Outlander Cast. So we want to hear you guys. As I said, let's take this from a 2-person podcast to a 20,000-plus person podcast. Let's do it.
That doesn't suck.
That's like how many Twitter followers you have. So I'm just picking that number right now.
Why not?
Okay. I'm excited.
Me too.
My babysitter needs to go, so
we're like cutting it down to the final
literally
minute.
I have 2 minutes left, so until next time, ladies and gents, I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake,
and you've been listening to Outlander Cast.
You're actually singing to it.
I'm like moving around.
When is the bad part for the harp?
Oh god, it's a lower note. It's a lower string.
Like, dang.
Hold on, let's see if we can find it. See, they're up in that higher octave.
Okay.
Here we go.
No. Not there?
No, but
this is a great podcast, by the way.
Anyway.
Thanks, guys.
I have to go. It's babysitter.
Yeah. Okay, babysitter time. Mary's putting down her things and walking away as we speak. See you, Mary. Bye, my love. You know what? I finally have the mic to myself. This is fantastic. I could just keep talking, but I won't, because I love you and you're probably bored already. What a way to close out this show. We are totally professionals. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Cannot wait to speak with you next episode. All right, bye.